John Morgan, let's begin with you. Your group has been working to gather voter signatures, enough petition signatures to make the state's ballot next year. You're coming up against a deadline on this. Where do things stand with your drive as of this morning?
I think of this morning, we will probably have gathered 1.1 million signatures. The question will be, do we have enough that are valid? There's 25 to 30% range that they've been coming in as not valid, you know, the duplicates, not registered, out of state, whatever. And so it's going to be close. You know, these things are usually done in 3 or 4 years, and I've done this one in 5 to 6 months.
So you think you may make it, you may not, but if you do get over the line, in just a moment, we'll welcome those to discuss their views on the opposite side of this. Why is this such an important issue for you that you've put millions of your own money into it? Why is it important that we legalize medical marijuana, in your opinion?
It's an issue of compassion. It worked for my father, my brother, who's quadriplegic. If he took the medicine that the experts want to give him every day, it's enough to knock an ox down. He has spasms that start at the tip of his toe and race all the way up his body like an electrical bolt. Hit him in the eye, and one toke of marijuana cigarette makes it all go away. So it works. And so, look, you only have one time on earth, and you only have one time to make a difference. And I know that this will be a difference to 300,000 or 400,000 people who are suffering from cancer and ALS and multiple sclerosis, and on it goes. Epilepsy, children will be unlocked states, and so it's something I want to do.
Kevin Sabet, you're director of the Drug Policy Institute at UF. State Attorney General Pam Bondi is arguing, and she's argued before the state Supreme Court, that this initiative, if it goes before the voters, is misleading. She's saying it's a slippery slope. It could open the door to marijuana outlets in every strip mall, similar to the pill mills that we see across Florida. Do you agree with the Attorney General? Do you think this would open the door to a destructive trend in the state?
Well, unfortunately, that has been the experience in most other states that have laws similar to the one written, like the one where we may have in Florida. I don't think anybody would begrudge Mr. Morgan or anyone who has actually life-threatening, horrible illness from really getting anything that may help them. The problem is, the way this is written, it's going to be available for people with writer's cramp and a little bit of back pain, and therefore it will be exposed. So, you know, there are components in marijuana that have medical value. The question is, how do we deliver that value? Smoking it certainly is not the right way to deliver it. We should deliver it in non-smoked ways. There are research programs today where parents of kids with epilepsy, Mr. Morgan mentioned epilepsy, can get the ingredient that actually helps them. It's not herbal marijuana, it's CBD. And CBD can be delivered in a non-smoked way. They can actually enroll in those programs. If you're suffering cancer, you can enroll in other programs to get a mouth spray that combines THC and CBD together. So this is sort of a square peg in a round hole that certainly may have unintended consequences just because of the broad nature and the way it's written.
Susan Pittman, you agree with Mr. Sabet. What though about the argument that John Morgan is making that this is the best way to deliver this compound to people who are suffering and for whom nothing else provides relief?
Well, I think there are some misperceptions about how the smoked marijuana can work and the title of medical. In the prevention community, we are fully supportive of medical marijuana, as Dr. Sabet just described. My father has Parkinson's, lives in my home, is currently hospitalized, has chronic pain. If this amendment passes, I could conceivably very easily get him approved for the medical marijuana license, not prescription. It is not a prescription. It will be a license. I could roll him to the medical marijuana dispensary, which will not be a CVS or a pharmacy because it's not an approved FDA drug, where a person behind at a pot shop will be helping us try to determine what the best pot for my dad will be. But in the meantime, that person is not a PharmD and won't help us understand the interactions with the 17 other drugs that he takes. And I think this is a dangerous situation. One of the links is psychosis. And Parkinson's patients often suffer from depression. It's kind of a co-occurring situation. So marijuana could actually make him worse.
And so, John Morgan, what about these concerns?
Total BS. It's fear-mongering by somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. I'm glad I'm not her father with Parkinson's, because I hope my daughter wants to take care of me and give me a shot at peace and pain-free existence. And it is nothing more than people who've not read the literature, who don't understand. You just need to go to Israel and look at the research. And for the other guy who talked about it being like Armageddon, they legalized marijuana straight up in Colorado last week. And guess what? The world didn't end. Pigs didn't start flying. And Jerry Falwell didn't raise from the grave and start damning the state of Colorado. It is fear-mongering by people who don't believe in science, who are not willing to be open-minded. It's going to pass someday. Why not tomorrow?
Kevin Sabat.
Well, I think that, frankly, that Mr. Morgan's comment speaks to the vitriol of the debate, unfortunately. And it also speaks to the fact that every major medical association, including the American Medical Association, as well as the American Society of Addiction Medicine, completely contradicts what we just heard from Mr. Morgan.
But
they say that state-sponsored medical marijuana programs are not the way to go, that you have the components of marijuana that can be helpful, and we need to deliver them in a non-smoked way.
I just want to say one more thing.
What Mr. Morgan said about Colorado was also very telling, because this is an agenda, as we've seen around the country, of the first step towards the legalization of marijuana. And the fact that we're even talking about Colorado, which is a completely separate policy, shows how these agendas are unfortunately.
Kevin, they've been trying to deliver medical marijuana in the form of Marinol since 1970. It's 40 years. It doesn't work. We don't need to wait for the pharmaceutical companies to be able to make billions when we can grow it in our greenhouses in Florida. It's crazy.
Well, we don't grow opium to get the effect of morphine. I don't know anybody who would grow poppy in their backyard. It's the same thing. Why would we grow
marijuana? Let me ask you, Kevin and Susan, as we debate all the issues around this, let's talk about the polling. Overwhelmingly, the state's voters say they'd approve this if they had the chance to vote on it. They don't see a problem with it. What about
that? That's right, because they think this is about cancer patients and those with AIDS. And we know in every state that this is at, it's less than 2% of people, and I should have said this at the outset, less than 2% of people who use medical marijuana in these state-run programs.
That's a flat-out lie by the state of Florida. Yeah. Believes that 275,000 people who have serious debilitating, these aren't my figures, this was done after I filed my amendment, 275,000 to 400,000 people who have debilitating illnesses and injuries would benefit day one. So
when we look
just
at
don't
the
pull,
states
just
that
don't pull,
happen,
don't pull
when you look
things
at cancer,
out of your ear.
Okay, and gentlemen, let me ask you to just stand pat for just a moment, because we do have quite a few calls on this issue. If you're just joining the show, as we speak with attorney John Morgan, who's for medical marijuana in the state, of course, and activist opposed, we want your calls on this issue. 549-2937. Larry in Jacksonville. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Hi, how's it going? I personally am for the legalization of medical marijuana, mainly on two fronts. One is that it has been proven in many places, not just America, that it has good medical benefits, such as stopping nausea in cancer patients, certainly nerves mainly. But also, there are people out there that have heard about these potential benefits, and right now, their only source for marijuana is illegally, as in, like, dealing with shady people, possibly having bad products or mixed products. You know, you never really know what you're getting because you don't know where it's coming from. If it's legalized, at least medically, then they know they're going to a reputable pharmacy and they're getting clean marijuana from the right people. So
Larry,
I'm definitely for it.
Larry, thanks. Susan Pittman, Coalition for a Drug-Free Duval. Let's bring you back into the discussion. For those who say we need to find a way to make this available legally and regulate it in such a way that we're not going down a slippery slope, is there not a way to satisfy those concerns, if not with this proposed legislation, then maybe with some other legislation?
Absolutely. Certainly, what you just said, Larry, is not accurate. You won't be going to a reputable pharmacy. As the constitutional amendment is written, you will be going to what is written in the constitutional amendment as a treatment center. However, I believe that name will be changed since currently treatment centers are considered places you go for addiction and abuse. It will probably be called a marijuana dispensary. The amendment has absolutely no regulations other than it will be issued by the Department of Health, whether you'll be allowed to be a, quote, a marijuana treatment center or not. So this is part of what our problem is that the amendment is so broad and so loose that what we think we're getting is not what we're getting.
John Morgan, is the amendment written too loosely?
Just the opposite. Before we put the amendment together, we did a lot of polling and focus groups in Florida. What Florida said is, look, first thing we want is we don't want to be California. We don't want it to be a wink and a nod. We don't want psychologists to be able to prescribe. We want our medical doctors. We don't want caregivers under 21 to be able to do it, so they can't. We want it to be highly regulated and licensed. Just because this passes does not mean that all of a sudden you're going to have head shops popping up on every corner. The state of Florida, the Florida legislature, the Republican governor and Republican legislature, they're going to regulate it. They're going to lay out how this is going to work. Rick Scott, a friend of mine, you know, he's in the medical business. He knows what he's doing. He'll be able to let this lady's worries be put to aside because he will know how to distribute, if he's the governor, to distribute the medical marijuana in a safe way. And it's been done for years now across America. You've never heard of an overdose. You never heard of a Parkinson's patient all of a sudden getting it out of his wheelchair and robbing a bank. You've never heard anything negative about the way it's been distributed for years in California and all throughout America. So the best predictor, and you've never heard of any psychotic episode. I've never heard of that ever used until this morning. So all these things are scare tactics. The best predictor of the future is the past, and the past shows it works. But in Florida, it's going to be better regulated, licensed, taxed, and good for really, really sick people and people who've got very debilitating injuries.
And if you're just joining the program right now, we're speaking with supporters and opponents of the push to legalize medical marijuana in Florida as a petition drive on the matter comes up against a deadline. They may or may not make the deadline to get this issue on next year's Florida ballot. Lots of calls, emails, and tweets. We want to hear your opinion this morning. Stephanie tweets the show, I am a registered nurse and 100% for legalization. Prescription drugs are dangerous and overused. Here is an email from Paul. Medical marijuana has proven to be useful for dozens of problems for thousands of years. If it's accurately classified as a Schedule I drug, then alcohol and tobacco should also be classified as Schedule I drugs. But we also want to hear from those opposed. Lots of calls. Robert in St. Augustine. Hi, Robert. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Go ahead.
I've heard, so far, I've heard mention of the pill mills that are out there. I've heard it that the AMA is against this. These are the institutions that are prescribing heinous drugs to our population, like benzodiazepines, which take years to recover from, opiates, which killed hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. This is the institution that law is approving. Now, the research on medical marijuana just speaks for itself. It's ridiculous. If we're looking at reviewing the standards for which drugs that which we're prescribing to our population, we need to be looking at the AMA and the Pharmaceutical Association. They're the ones that are killing us.
That's Robert in St. Augustine. Kevin Sabet, director of the Drug Policy Institute over at UF. As some callers express these opinions, saying they just don't see this drug being essentially very harmful, what's your response to that?
Well, I think a lot of people have outdated thoughts about marijuana. I mean, certainly people, a lot of people use marijuana, and there have been a lot of people who have used it that have not had negative effects. But for the 10% of those adults who become addicted if they start using then, or the 1 in 6 kids who start when they're, will become addicted if they start when they're 16, it can have serious consequences. Today's marijuana is 5 to 10 times stronger than it was in the past. I'm very happy that Mr. Morgan hasn't heard of psychotic episodes among his group of friends or family, but there are 400,000 of them a year directly attributed to marijuana. These are a lot of people that are vulnerable populations, youth and young people. Go talk to the parents of the kids in Colorado who are now ingesting marijuana brownies and sodas and candies and cookies that were supposed to be for medical value, and they got into the wrong hands. And actually last year sent a couple dozen kids to the ER as a result. So in Colorado. So, I mean, clearly for most people it will not be harmful, but for the small number of people where it will be harmful, it's a real problem. But again, we're having two different discussions, because if this is about medicine and cancer patients, we should talk about how do we deliver medicine best. And I think we would all agree that there are medical properties contained in marijuana. The question is, how do we deliver it in a safe way? How do we deliver it at a pharmacy with actually your own doctor, as opposed to a way in which we're, voting on whether someone should be able to smoke a joint or not? That's very different.
One thing that the other caller brought up, and it's true, but look at the alternatives to what these two folks would rather have our fellow citizens take. They'd rather have people at a pill mill getting OxyContin. 16,000 people die every year in America from Oxy. Hundreds of thousands are hooked, and millions of lives are destroyed because families are cracked up. You never hear that problem with marijuana of any type. Every 17 minutes, a person dies from alcohol abuse. So to be talking about the downside, have you ever heard of an overdose of marijuana? Have you ever heard of somebody getting marijuana and going on a killing spree? Have you ever heard of somebody getting on marijuana and trying to kill themselves? No, it doesn't happen.
Actually,
it is the lesser of all evils.
Kevin, what about that?
Well, the issue is, obviously, first of all, I take offense to the fact that we want to see people at pill mills abusing drugs that are the biggest killer in the country today. That's ridiculous.
That's the alternative.
Susan dedicates her life to preventing teenagers and kids and bringing families together who've been afflicted by this, and preventing those tragedies from happening. I worked in a few administrations where we actually worked on the first prescription drug plan for the entire country, and actually worked very closely with authorities in Florida on that. So let's step back a minute and turn down the temperature.
And let me just get a few more callers on, if I could. Let's go to Anthony in Ortega. Anthony, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, and good morning to the distinguished panel. First of all, those psychotic episodes are all linked to synthetic marijuana, which is a very, very, very bad alternative. Looking at the micro model of marijuana, the evolution, from the Ann Arbor decriminalization, making it a $20, civil citation, you can't really argue with the compassionate views of Mr. Morgan. There's a difference between cannabis and indica, cannabis sativa, the Dutch model. It was recently legalized in Uruguay. And Pam Bondi's Attorney General Pam Bondi, you can't really argue with that. That's going to be one of the evolutionary symptoms of legalization without regulation. Like in Denver, you had more coffee shops than McDonald's. You have less coffee shops and less McDonald's than you do medical marijuana dispensaries. So my take on this is that the United States government has a war on drugs, which right now sends $80 billion of our hard-earned U.S. currency for illicit drugs to the cartels in Mexico. The problem with that going to the cartels. Number two, that money should be earmarked and given to the United States government. And what I'm saying is that the United States government should regulate marijuana across all state lines so that the marijuana money that's being sent to the states, or if it's trickled down and given to that to the state's authority, should be given to the United States government. Because at the end of the day, look at what's happening at the airports in California with the TSA. You got a person going into the airport that forgot their medical marijuana card, and they have an ounce of cannabis with them. Mm. So the TSA person has to determine whether or not they arrest them, they not arrest them. I think the ultimate evolution, the macro model of this, is that the United States government should constitutionally legalize, regulate, not legalize, because legalize is just going to make it even worse. It should be regulated by the United States
government. And that's Anthony in Ortega. Susan Pittman, as the polling on this issue shifts rather dramatically and policy scrambles to catch up, is that eventually what we're looking at?
I think it's really likely. I do want to take issue with Mr. Morgan's accusation that that we have expressed any kind of scare tactics or anything else. We're very excited about the medical properties of marijuana. There's a whole bunch of there's Marinol, which is currently approved, Sativex, which is in phase 3 trials. Then there's quite a few other drugs that are currently in various phases of clinical trials. We're fully supportive of those. We are keenly aware that marijuana patients or marijuana users do not typically, as I read in one article, bite the face off other people or jump from 7-story buildings. But as a wife and as a mom, there's a whole lot of other interim side effects that I don't want for my children or my community.
And John Morgan, Kevin Sabet, your final thoughts. John, then Kevin.
2 years ago, Dr. Sanjay Gupta wrote an article in Time magazine saying, you know what, I don't think it should be legal. 2 years later, after a lot of research, going to Israel, reading, being open-minded, looking at scientific journals, and understanding that it works, he changed his mind. He published an hour-long special on CNN urging America to legalize marijuana. It should be done because it's compassionate. We don't need big pharma and these poisonous pill mills to make billions of dollars hooking us and killing us. It's going to happen because Florida wants it to happen, and it's because it's the right thing to do.
Kevin Sabet.
Thank you. Actually, interestingly, I just sat down with Dr. Gupta 2 weeks ago, and he said he's not in favor of full legalization. He's in favor of harnessing the medical properties of marijuana, as I think we all are. And there are ways to do that. We don't smoke opium to get the... John, I just sat down with him, but if you'd let me talk...
Well, Kevin, you don't need to sit down with him. Go on live.
Sit down.
Kevin, I'm not going to let you lie.
You know what? I can't bully yourself.
All right, gentlemen.
I can tell you I sat down with the Easter Bunny last week.
You know what,
gentlemen, listen,
Kevin,
guys,
we've
got to stop there.
I just want to say one thing. We don't smoke opium to get the effect of morphine. We don't need to smoke marijuana to get its medical properties.
All righty. Thank you, all three of you, for being with us. We'll continue to follow this story, and we'll have the full breakdown of today's discussion and a lot more detail for those who are interested in looking at all sides of the issue on our website later today. Thanks, all three of you, for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.